So I was wondering, is there any foods that you eat abnormally?
That I eat? No.
You eat everything just like you take a bite. There's nothing that you like eat a very specific way or like tendencies you have with your food that are weird.
I mean, in general, I would say I like most of my food like separated. I don't like
Okay,
it
okay.
together. I don't think I have any weird. I know you have weird tendencies.
Yeah, well, that's why I was like, do other people do these things?
I mean, I don't know to your extent, but like,
Yeah.
I'm sure there are. Like, for example,
How
like
do you eat a
Taryn
Reese's?
only eats the inside of her In-N-Out burger. She makes
Well,
like she
first.
makes like a crescent U out of it and then eats the crust.
And then I split the crust and I eat one long string at a time. I will say, I understand when people look at me and go, what is that? Because it looks
100%.
very strange. I like the crispy part of the bun.
No, yeah, I
So I
like
save
I'm
it for the
aware of that,
end.
but yeah, it's just it's
And
not
then,
normal.
so how do you eat a Reese's?
I just eat it. There's no
Really?
method to
Oh.
eating
I eat the
it.
outside. Then I peel the top and bottom off and I eat those. Then I roll it in a ball and then I eat
How old are you? I'm just kidding. This is why
Ouch.
she works with children.
Ouch.
Rolls her Reese's into a ball and eats
Let me be me.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Unsolicited Advice. That
Hello.
is Taryn.
Yep.
I am Ashley, and super pumped for today's episode. Is this our 51st? Is that what we were told? Wow.
I
When did
don't
we
think,
grow
did we
up?
even talk about last episode being
I
our
don't even think
50th?
we talked about it. Like, happy 50th, Taryn.
You
I'm
know what?
really
Happy
proud of us. We've
50th.
come a long way.
That's
I can't
intense.
believe we've been here for 51 episodes. That's a big
Yeah.
deal. We're coming up on a year,
That's so
which is
crazy.
like, it feels like we just started, but at the same time, I feel
Yeah.
like I've been doing this my whole life. I don't know how to explain
Yeah. Well,
it.
I definitely, it feels different like record days
Yeah, definitely.
because we used to be like kind of nervous, like getting our stories together and
Yeah.
like don't talk to me about your story. Like you have to do it.
Yeah,
Like
it
we were
was very like,
very,
don't tell me a thing about your story.
yeah.
And I think I was the one that was mostly like
Yes.
that,
Oh
but
my
I chilled
gosh.
out a lot more.
Yeah, if her paper was laying around and I was like, hey, what's this? She'd be like, don't look at it. But it was, yeah, it just feels like recording days are like so chill now. It's like, you got your stuff together, you do.
It's
Okay,
like,
let's
okay,
go.
cool, let's grab coffee,
Yeah,
we're on our
it's
way.
pretty fun.
Yeah,
I
it's been
like it.
great. We've grown up a lot. It's been so much fun.
And remember when we first came in, like we were all nervous, and then Andrew told us that Mark never laughs. When we
Yes.
first met. So I was like, okay, like there's this mysterious guy who's not going to think I'm funny, which is my literal worst nightmare is for someone to be like, you're not funny. So then we were like trying to make him laugh the whole time. And that was like literally my goal. It still is every episode. And now we're just like, we literally just sat in there talking with him
Yeah.
forever about.
Remember when he laughed? And then we were like, ah,
Yeah. Remember when I was like,
bonded.
Ashley, is he laughing?
So weird.
It's so good. We're like
We've
just
come such a long
reminiscing.
way. We had a moment that I would like Taryn to elaborate on.
Oh.
We were on our way here, and the car in front of me, I was like, Taryn, look, the car has, if you guys might remember this if you're older, but it was the Wiener Schnitzel hot dog hanging onto the antenna. And I was like, Taryn, do you remember in like, when was it, like middle school
Was,
or high school?
I feel like I was early high school, so you were probably like,
Yeah, like the Wiener Schnitzel
yeah.
was on a, like a lot of vans,
It's
like a
the
lot of
little
vans.
he's because it was the whole like their whole promo at that time was like hit the like little wiener guy was escaping.
Yeah,
So like
running
there was
away from
all
being
on the
eaten.
car antenna, like he's like hanging on
He's
to it
hanging
because he
onto
was
the
trying to get
antenna.
out. Yeah.
So I look at Taryn and I was like, oh my God, do you remember those? And she goes, yeah. I got into a really weird Wiener Schnitzel phase at one point, and I was like, excuse me, what? Please elaborate. So I wanted her to say more, but I didn't want to talk about it in the car.
That must
So
have been one
yeah,
of
can you
those.
explain to me what a Wiener Schnitzel, weird Wiener Schnitzel phase is?
I feel like I'm the type of person, like I go through phases a lot through life. Like
Okay.
where I'll be like really in, like, I was really into Wiener Schnitzel and like ordering specific things. And then like, once I'm invested in something, I'm like fully invested. So then it was like those things were on car antennas and I was like, yes, sign me up. And I was just like, but then it became more than just like a thing. It was like a movement. I was all about it. And then there's like times where I'm like, and then like I'm really into Del Taco and I'll be like all about that for a while. Well, I'm always into Del Taco. But yeah, I get really, I feel like you should know this. I'm very like, I get invested fast and I'm like, let's do everything. You want me to dress up? You want me to show up like day there?
Yeah, that's funny.
But yeah, I definitely went, I had one of those.
I don't
in
think
car.
I ever went through a, well, no, I went through a hard bagel phase.
You were obsessed with bagels?
Every morning with strawberry cream cheese.
Just plain bagel?
Just a plain bagel cheese. With strawberry Ooh. Cream cheese. And then one day I graduated high school. And
I thought you were going to say, like, you graduated in bagel.
No. And I started, like, going to Starbucks before work every morning. Yeah. And then I found the Asiago bagel with Ooh, cream
that's
cheese.
That's the cheese one?
Yeah.
Ooh. I love Zang. The everything bagel, but I hate what it does to your teeth.
Yeah, you have to be careful with
that's
that.
That's not a good, like, date food.
Yeah. Yeah. And then the older I got, the less I can eat bagels.
You just had a bagel, though.
I know.
For a free meal.
Guys, I've been doing this where I, like, let myself have, like, a splurge meal every single week for a while now. And yesterday, I literally, like, I went out. It was one of my friend's birthdays. I was eating strictly only the inside of the tacos so that I could have my splurge meal on Sunday because I wanted... That whole week, all I wanted was a breakfast sandwich, like a breakfast. So I remember we went out on Saturday and we had this beautiful like meal. It was all like this. It was at this Mexican restaurant called Toca Madera in Hollywood. And it was such a great restaurant. It was so good. But I was the girl that wasn't eating the tortillas.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't care because I'm having my breakfast sandwich tomorrow. So me, Taryn, her brother and her sister-in-law all went to breakfast that morning. I got a breakfast sandwich on like sourdough bread, egg, bacon, cheese. Then I got a side of hash browns with ketchup. And then I got a plain bagel with cream cheese and I ate it all.
Oh, she was like into it.
Thrived. And the waiter... He like walked over and was like, I have a side of hash browns. I was like, here. He was like, I have a breakfast sandwich. I was like, here. He was like, and the plain bagel. I was like, right here, my man. Like, just put it down.
Not even like, she wasn't even like slightly embarrassed. It was just like pride. Like every item, like, she's mine, like, mine.
Yeah. It was a great moment. But that was yesterday. Today's Monday. We're bouncing back today.
Yeah, bouncing back.
We're just hydrating.
Bouncing back from that bagel.
Anyways, so enough good. About
food.
My epic cheat meal.
Yeah.
Have you been, Taryn?
I've been really good. I thought we haven't really talked about Kobe Bryant passing, I feel like, since it happened.
The celebration of life was today.
Yes. And I haven't been able to watch the whole thing just because I was like kind of like in work mode and going back and forth, and I knew like I would be really sad, and I was like, I need a moment. Like, I want to be able to like sit and enjoy it.
Yeah.
But I did hear parts of it, and it was such a beautiful, it really was like a celebration. Like, you could, like, the vibe was just like everyone was so just reflective on his life and stuff. And I thought that was just like amazing.
Yeah.
I love that. Like, I love that he still has such a big impact. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I watched most of it, and I just, there's something about live television that is, it gives you chills. It's like, I mean it has to do with like anything news related, but like the bigger events in the news, like watching it live and knowing that most of the nation is all watching this at the same time, it's very like kind of like, it was very solemn. And like I was just sitting there with like a couple of friends of mine watching it, and it was just kind of, we just kept getting chills just knowing how many people are stopping everything to watch this right now. Kind of like when Michael Jackson had his funeral, like watching that live, I remember my mom, like, we had to have it on the TV, and we were watching the whole thing. And it was just one of those moments, like where you just kind of gather around and just realize that you're watching history all together at the same time.
A lot of times you don't know that you're a part of history. Like, you can't, you know what I mean? Like, I mean, obviously in like big, big events, you're like, oh, this is going to like be something people remember. But to just know, like you said, like this is something.
Yeah.
It's funny because I think sometimes like when people who are like celebrity status pass away or something happens, like people are embarrassed to show how much like they're affected by these people they've never met. Mm-hmm. But I love how people were just like so raw about like how much he impacted them. I know like
I feel like everyone was very open about him.
Yeah, it definitely impacted. We were together in Australia when my phone just started blowing up. I got texts from like 6 people. Because I've always been just like a really big Lakers fan, but especially Kobe. And I've told an embarrassing moment about like an encounter with him in the grocery store. But I also used to watch him just like interact as a dad at the soccer practices because mm-hmm. the kid I nannied was on the same team as his daughter. And so it's just like hearing everybody talk about what a good dad he was. Like I literally probably interacted with him or watched him a couple times, but I remember like seeing that, like he would just like run up to them and like I remember he put her on his shoulders and it was her birthday, so he was singing aww. Like a birthday song to her, and like people are like walking up and saying what's up to him, and he was still so like sweet and like would say what's up to everyone, but like never taking his attention and like his affection like from her
away from her. That's beautiful.
And I just like I just love that, like sometimes I feel like when people pass away and then all of a sudden everyone's like, oh, they were such an amazing person. And you're like, well, that's not how you felt like before. Yeah, you know what I mean? Yeah. But like with him, it's like he genuinely was like such a good dad. And so I love that everyone's been really like highlighting that about him. Mm-hmm. Not just like the change he did to like the game of basketball, but like how he was just like such a loving father. I think it's really cool.
Yeah. And I thought they did a great job.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, anywho. But, yeah, that's, like, I feel like that's the thing that stood out the most about recently. How about you? Anything?
Probably my cheat meal.
You know what? That was a very worthy moment.
It was a big moment.
Thank you for sharing it with us.
No, yeah, I'm glad.
I just wanted to say, I mentioned this to Ash in the car. I feel like I've been getting a lot of, like, or seeing a lot of DMs or emails of people being like, hey, just found your podcast. And mm-hmm. I cannot tell you how excited I get. Like, so excited that, like, new people are coming. Obviously, our OG UA fans will forever have a place in our heart. Mm. But it's just exciting to know, like, more people are coming and they're like, I'm binging. I just got to the October series. You know, like, stuff like that. It's, like, so fun hearing that.
Yeah. Speaking of series, Taryn and I have been talking a lot recently about different series ideas that we would possibly want to have mm-hmm. in like the upcoming months. And I'm super excited for some of them, but would also love your guys' opinions. So if you guys follow us on social, first of all, if you don't follow us on socials, just follow us. Just do it now.
Yeah.
Save yourself some time. You might as well just do it now.
Tell them names.
And then DM us and let us know. Topics, literally like top 3 topics that you would like us to discuss, so that we could like put that in the mix of series topics that we could do. If you're watching us on YouTube right now, comment them below. If you are listening to us right now, like just send us an email or DM us on Insta and let us know. Yeah. You could even tweet us, go on the Facebook page, tell us what you want to hear. We would love your opinions, just so we can like narrow it down and actually get the ball rolling and create these. So we're very excited for this kind of stuff. I love series and getting you guys involved in it.
Oh,
so
totally.
That's going to be really fun. Something fun to look forward to.
You know, it was exciting.
What?
This literally was the first time where you've mentioned YouTube and my stomach didn't drop because I was like, oh, shoot.
Yeah, guys. Karen's really been picking it up.
Mark, the video's already up. It was up like right after
Karen.
We posted. Thank you. I just want to say I have a system now. It is like a time consuming thing. And I think that's why I was always like, oh, shoot. Yeah, I'll do that later. But I didn't feel guilty. I was like, yeah, they are watching us on YouTube because we on the YouTube.
So, yeah, we are probably going to head into our story time about
now.
Turn
it up real
fast. You want to do it now?
Yeah. I'm going to do it super quick. It's super short. And then we can get into it. So this one, it's like not funny. It actually is one of my like biggest fears, but it's kind of like one of those things where you're like, this poor girl. So she says, my short little story from England. Hi, I'm Shannon. So basically I work in a supermarket in the clothes department and usually work alone from 10 p.m. to 6 a.m. Mm-mm. I could never. Mm-mm. I could never. In like a giant store? No.
I used to work at the hotel that I always tell you guys about.
Oh, yeah.
And there was, I would always end at 11 and someone would come in from 11 oh, to no. 7.
Absolutely not.
And I always looked at them and I'd always be like, what do you do?
That's when the a bad hotel? People come out. That's what my dad used to tell me. Mm-mm. He'd be like, you can't drive because that's when the crazy people are out.
That's when all the creepy devils come out. You can't.
Yep.
Lock the doors.
You can't.
Lock the doors.
You can't.
I did it once. Hated life. Anyways, no, continue.
Absolutely not. During these hours, the store is closed, so it's pure silence in my half of the store. Again, absolutely not. I'm working delivery in the warehouse cage, the place where we keep stock, and I'm pushing with freaking force two closed rails down the aisle, which was a mistake. The shelves start to wobble, and I'm like, what is that? I turn around, and two mannequins fly towards me. Let's just say the employees and managers in my store now send me gifts of mannequins daily. I'm naming these mannequins Tony and Jeff. They're now a part of my work routine. That is my nightmare.
I don't understand how to. Okay. Two.
So she's pushing racks and it must have like caught something on a shelf or something. So she heard a noise behind her and she turned as two mannequins were like falling onto her.
Got it.
Okay. I would have died. Ashley knows I'm scared of mannequins. I feel like most people are.
Yeah.
Like, I can't look at them for too long. And now there's those viral videos of like the people in those suits and then they start like walking towards people. I literally would die. I think I would fall over and die.
Yeah. It's really bad. It's really bad.
Imagine having two mannequins fall towards you.
I could not.
In a silent warehouse store.
Yeah.
How is she alive?
I mean.
Okay. Ashley's speechless.
She's alive. We're happy for her.
Okay, Shannon, I am here with you and I understand your fear. Because mannequins are freaking scary.
Terrifying.
Anywho, so we will take a break. Do you want to go first?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you want to give us your title?
Yes. The title for this one is The One Where Jealousy Wins. We Were on a Break.
Friends reference.
Very big.
We
Friends
were
reference.
On a break.
Also, who's excited for whatever is coming out with reunion thing.
I hope they don't ruin it.
I don't know what that means. I don't know if it doesn't necessarily mean an episode of something, but like
someone said it was a series though.
It could be. I don't know if it would be, but it could be. Interesting.
Yeah, epic.
Did you see how much money they're making each? That's ridiculous. Anyways. Break.
Hello, everyone. It's Taryn
and Ashley
from Unsolicited Advice. And if you want to listen to our show without ads, you can now.
Just go to unsolicitedadvice.supercast.com or click the link in the episode description and you can get a 1 week preview of the ad-free version for free.
You'll get ad-free listening to the show. You can listen on almost any podcasting app and you'll be supporting our show too. That's unsolicitedadvice.supercast.com.
All right. Again, I already left you guys with the title, but the title is Once More, The One Where Jealousy Wins, We Were on a Break. It's a she. I gave that away. She starts off with, hi, ladies. Hello.
Hi.
I'm going to start off like everyone else and gush about how much I absolutely love your podcast. I just finished binging and I'm finally caught up. And I have to say, I haven't found another podcast that makes me as genuinely happy and excited as yours.
Honored.
You ladies have done an amazing job and have grown so much through this process. Thank you for letting us listeners/viewers, YouTube crew, for being
You're
a part
welcome.
Of that. Girl.
Girl.
That means so much. Thank you.
That was really nice.
Now, into the juicy stuff. I would love to stay anonymous. I highlighted that. I underlined it for this letter, but you can call me Rachel. In parentheses, she puts, thought it was fitting as my title is a Friends
quote. Okay, I was just going to say this girl's obsessed with Friends and like, we love her. Right. The same.
She continues, I'm 24 and I like to think of myself as happy, more shy, but also a social person when the occasion arises. And I've never felt more understood by a sentence because the 100% Rachel, that is me. I am a shy person, like by nature, but I do lean more towards the outgoing. And there's no word, there's no category for us. We're just literally right in the middle. We're introverted extroverts.
I feel like there's no, like, you can't anticipate it either. Like, mm-mm. There's some situations where I'm like, oh, dang, Ash, like, you're super, like, loud and, like,
yeah,
center of attention. And there's other times where it's, like, something that I'm like, oh, this isn't a big deal. And you're, like, shut off and quiet. So yeah. It's, like, that must be, like, weird to go into things.
For, I mean, just to give Rachel, or if people don't understand what Rachel meant by that, to, like, give them a little background, it's weird. Like, you just wake up one day feeling like, bam, here we go, I am on top of the world and I want all of the attention. So, and there's other days where I'm like, I'm gonna sit in the corner, don't look at me.
Do you know at the beginning of the day what it's gonna be like, or is it sometimes like you walk in a room and it just hits?
It's just like, it's a mood. I always say moods. Maybe someone could think of a better term to use it. But, like, sometimes I walk into a room and I feel super confident and I'm just like, let's go. And then there's other times where I'm just like, no, not today.
Yeah. Yeah. That's so interesting.
It's interesting learning about oneself. Anyways, I digress from me. Back to Rachel. She says, I would be definitely classified as an introverted extrovert with a dash more on the introverted side. Recently, I feel I've been struggling with a few different core aspects of my life, work and relationships, and I think these struggles coincide with each other. But today, we're just going to focus on relationships. Work struggles can wait for the next letter. Work struggles can wait for the next letter. There we go. Yeah, girl, you don't have to write us just once. Okay, she continues. I know that a very common topic that's been talked about in 2020 has been self-confidence and being our best individual selves. I feel, for the first time in my life, that my self-confidence is at an all-time low. I've never been one for low self-confidence / self-esteem. I've always been complacent with who I am and where I'm at in life, but something has shifted and I'm not sure how to address. I like to think of myself as the hopeless romantic. Romantic movies, books, songs, anything Disney princess related. I like to think of myself as Princess Anna from Frozen.
Yeah, Princess Anna.
Oh my God. I think my brain blanked. I was like, where's that like, from?
What? Princess Anna.
Princess Anna. I read it Anna. That's weird.
That's probably why, because Anna.
I think
Anna.
That threw me off. Okay. I like to think of myself as Princess Anna from Frozen. Got it.
Got I was it. Like, Ash.
I know. That was weird. I'm currently single, and the majority of my friends are happy and in steady relationships, and I am honestly very, very happy for them. I think everyone deserves to find love. But recently, I found myself becoming resentful of my friends that are in relationships, and this is not who I am. I hate that I'm becoming this person. Most times I hang out with my friends and they bring their boyfriends, leaving me to be the third or fifth wheel.
Relatable.
Mm-hmm. I'm surrounded by my beautiful friends gushing about all the amazing things that their boyfriends do for them, in parentheses, on the daily. And where this didn't used to bug me, suddenly hanging out with them and hearing these great and even not great things makes me extremely sad and jealous all at the same time. I then get angry with myself for feeling this way because my friends deserve the absolute best and these guys truly care about them and their well-being. It's exhausting feeling all of these emotions all at one time. I feel like I can't talk about this struggle that I'm having because I don't want to be that friend that comes off as desperate. I don't want to make them feel bad for being in a relationship just because I can't handle my own emotions. A little history for you on my love life. This past year, I dated a coworker on and off for 6 months and ended up getting my heart broken. In the end, I was, wait for it, she puts all caps, ghosted.
Ugh.
Ugh.
Barf.
Gross. Lesson number one, you can't ghost people that you work with.
Yes.
Especially people you dated for 6 months. Wow. That was poor timing on that person's part.
Yep.
Long story short, not long after he ghosted me, he became engaged to someone else. And I found out that I was actually the rebound girl. And he was seeing her while we were on a quote unquote break. And even before I met him, insert Ross and Rachel, we were on a break joke here. Every time I see him, it breaks my heart. I'm having a really hard time moving on, even though I know it's best and that we're not together. He wasn't the one for me. I'm always having a hard time meeting people to date outside of work. I vowed to never date within the workspace again unless he turns out to be Prince Charming
That's a good
with
move.
A Costco badge. That was cute. I'm sure he's out there somewhere waiting in a bookstore, and I'm sure I'll find him. But in the meantime, I would love your advice on how to rid myself of all of the anger and jealousy that has been slowly building in my heart, and how to open it up for someone new when the time comes along. Thank you for reading my letter. Just getting all of these feelings onto paper makes me feel so much better already. Any advice you could give is welcome. Thanks again. You guys are honestly the best. XOXO, Rachel. I think it is so interesting how I think most of the letters that I've been reading lately, but even from the very beginning, they've all said, thank you so much. But even if you don't read this, writing it out has helped.
Oh my gosh. So many.
Common denominator from the very beginning of this podcast.
Dude, literally mine ends with that too.
Yeah. Like, hey, even if you don't read this, this was super therapeutic and helpful for me just writing it out. And I'm always like,
we always say to write a letter.
Isn't that interesting?
It's therapeutic.
It's like, I think we know that, but I don't think we really give it enough power. Like, I don't think we realize how powerful it is to get your thoughts out of your head, you know?
And I think too, like, I don't know about you, but like, well, I feel like everyone, when you're thinking about something, it like spirals, right? So like you're thinking about a situation, but then like that feeling makes you start thinking about this, and then you're thinking about that guy and this and this and this, and it becomes like overstimulating to where you're just like, oh my gosh, this situation is too big, I can't handle it.
Yeah.
But like if you're sitting and writing, like your hand can only go so fast and you have to make like a fluid sentence, right? Mm-hmm. So it's like all of the noise channels into your pen and is like,
which word comes
clearing
next.
It out.
Yeah.
And then I think that's where sometimes like you really read it back and you're like, oh, like,
yeah,
that's the thing that's been bothering me. Yeah. And then it doesn't seem as big. Like when you see it on a paper and you're like, I couldn't even fit it into one page. But yeah. I spent hours talking about this.
Or like, vice versa. Like you've been downplaying it in your head for so long. And then you finally read it on paper and you're like, that's a real
problem. That's a big deal.
Problem.
Yeah. No, it's like you never know what's going to happen. And there's so many freaking exercises you can do. I've done one where like you write what you think the other person is saying. So like you literally write
from
to yourself from their perspective.
Got it. Yeah.
I've done one where like you put music on and you write with your left hand because it like your brain has to focus differently. Uh-huh. Like there's so many things that have to do with just getting a pen and like letting it out.
It's,
you know,
interesting. Yeah. I think
we need to start journaling.
We need to
again.
Work on that.
Yeah,
I'm
I really
here
do.
Thinking of all the times I could have should have done something like that. But yeah, back to Rachel. One, I'm really glad
look
that writing it out helped for you. Taryn was literally jotting away all these ideas
so
while
funny,
I was speaking.
Because I don't even know what half of it says, but like it's because when you read stories, do you feel like that when I read? Sometimes I'm like,
I literally have felt like, you know, in like the crime shows, the lawyers like while one's talking, the lawyer like writes down a note.
Jotting down.
Yeah.
I felt
like that
felt
multiple
too.
Times.
Yeah.
Well, why don't you start off since you got.
Well,
we
a couple
a lot
of random
there.
Things. She said she wants to meet a guy in a bookstore, and immediately, what did that? Did it make you think
you?
Of anything? Yes. I was like,
don't
no,
meet a guy in a bookstore.
Don't. He's
have
got
you
a
seen the show?
Glass cage underneath.
Badly.
Be careful.
Terrifying. Don't do it. Sorry, that was a joke. It could. He could be great, but
yeah, oh, he could be. So that's that note.
great note.
Thank
favorite
you.
Favorite note.
Thank you. She already went over the no coworkers, so I'm going to just cross that out. It never works.
Yeah, I tried.
Okay, sometimes it works. But I feel like it's like the summer camp thing. You know exactly what I'm talking about. Like when you are in, I feel like we as people, we when we're put in a situation where we're there all the time, it's like you have to find something to like put attraction or emotion or connection into. Mm-hmm. So a lot of times it's like you're stuck in this little aquarium tank and there's five fish in there with you. So you look at the five fish and you're like, "Heh, not great, but like which one am I going to do?" And then all of a sudden, he becomes this beautiful, like beautiful creature.
Yeah.
And then you get dumped in the ocean and you're like, "Oh, like what?" Like it's just like summer camp. Like I can tell
that was
every
such a great
freaking
analogy.
Summer camp, I had a crush on someone.
Yeah.
And I was in love with
them.
Me and
Taryn have had multiple conversations
yes.
about how when you go away on a trip with a group of people. Mm-hmm. It could be a group of friends or coworker kind of thing, or just like volunteering for like a day. Sometimes spending just a longer amount of time with complete strangers causes you to, just actually like get to know those people.
Yeah.
For one thing.
Yeah.
So you're actually like learning more about a person than you probably would have if you were like,
oh, that's true.
You know, in regular life. So there is a part of you that's like, oh, well, this person's actually cooler than I thought they'd be. Mm-hmm. But especially like in work situations, I think it's really tricky to trust your feelings.
Yeah.
Because the whole time, I don't mean this in a rude way, but there's nothing else to do.
Yeah.
Except talk with that person.
And those sometimes feelings come. Are so exciting. Yeah. It's like we made eye contact, or like he walked by and he like bumped my chair, and I know he did it on
and
purpose.
And you know it makes work more fun.
Anytime there's a forbidden thing too, it's like, yes, please.
So I think I'm not writing off dating coworkers, period.
I know some people that
but
got
like,
married.
If you like the coworker and you feel like something's there, maybe take him or her out with a group of friends first before committing.
You know,
to put that so politely,
go back into the ocean before you commit. I think one of the things she said, I'm glad I wrote notes, because literally after that tangent we just went on, I'd be like, what are we talking about?
What are we doing? What's today?
I think like she said something about, and you can correct me if I'm saying this wrong, something about like how she feels guilty for feeling the way she does of like being jealous, or when her friends are always saying stuff. She's like, I feel bad when I feel jealous because they deserve this. And I just wanted to say, like, those are two completely separate things. Mm-hmm. Like, you feeling jealous or getting like negative emotions that come up when you see someone else with someone, like, that's not a personal thing. You're not saying that like you don't want them to be happy. You're just acknowledging that it's bringing up a desire in you that like you don't have the means to fulfill right now.
An extremely natural desire.
And that's okay. Like, I think that's the thing, is like we try to like be ashamed of emotions that come up instead of just like looking them head on and being like, yeah, no, I understand why I'm feeling this way. You know what I mean? And another thing is like this guy, it's not even the guy. Like, the guy sucks, like, obviously. But every time you're feeling those things, he's the last person you had a connection with. So he's going to keep being the one that comes up and is tied to this, like, uneasiness you're feeling. So I wouldn't look at it as much. That was something that helped me so much in getting over my ex, is when I realized, like, it's not him that, like, I'm longing for. It's, like, being in love and being in, like, a relationship where you like cherish and care for someone. Yeah. So it's like once you separate that, that helps too. So I think there's a lot of separating that you need to do of like, it's not personal. And also like, it's not the guy. Like, think about the details about the guy, the facts about the guy. But it's saying like, oh, I miss that feeling of connection, and that's something I want. And that's okay too. You know? I'll save my other notes for later.
Oh,
please continue.
I was just going to say that I think where you're at is extremely relatable. I'm 30 and I'm single, so I cannot begin to explain how many third wheel dates I've been on, fifth wheel dates I've been on, because a lot of my friends are starting to like get married and are starting to have kids. So it's like I'm hanging out with some of my girlfriends and their husbands now, and it was like a boyfriend, and then it was fiance, and now it's husband, and it's just like, I am genuinely very happy for them.
Yeah.
I have never felt bad or angry at myself for feeling jealous of
because
them being
sense.
Married, because that's something that I want one day.
Yeah.
And I know I'm gonna have that one day.
Yeah.
So it is normal for me to be like, God, I can't wait till we can all go out on a date with me and my husband too, you know? And there's nothing bad about that in any way. I would agree there was a lot of like awkward moments where I would just, you know, they'd all be like lovey-dovey and I'd just be straight chilling.
Let's see what's on Instagram.
Myself. I'm like, let me take a picture of this dove.
Yeah. A dove?
Sure. Pigeon? I don't know. Like anything. Like I would be like, all right, I'll hop on my phone really quick.
Yeah.
But I would really try to not be angry at yourself for simply wanting to have that kind of relationship too.
Yeah.
And I guarantee you, I understand not wanting to be that person. I'm the type to not like want to talk about it either. But I guarantee you, if they're your best friends, they'll completely understand where you're coming from. If you could just be like, hey, like, listen, I love hanging out with you and I love the guys. Like, I love hanging out with them so much. They're like brothers to me. Like, it means the world that you guys are so inclusive and bringing me along with everything. But can we like have just a girl's day or can we like have a moment and like really think about if we're all going to go as a group, can we bring someone for me too? Like, even if it's a girlfriend, even if it's like a guy that you're not interested in, just like another person for you to talk to. They'll understand.
No, it's so true.
If they're your best friends, then they'll be there and they'll support you and they'll probably apologize for not really thinking about it. That, you know? I think what I would do is I would give your friends the benefit of the doubt and assume that maybe they haven't really taken the time to think about the position they're putting you in. And then also take that moment and tell them where you're at.
What do we always say?
If they don't know, then they don't know.
Exactly. You have to tell people how you need to be loved.
Yes, like, exactly.
That is something. Ash, I feel like we're starting to get like we have like our catchphrases we always say.
Yeah.
You know?
Ooh.
We should like
should
track
we write
them.
These down.
Yeah, I think we should.
Guys, write it down for us.
Write it down.
I'm so lazy.
Write it down because
can you write it down for me? Because I don't want to write it down right now.
No, I think what you said is so freaking good because it is like drawing those boundaries for yourself. Like sit and think like, is it always like this? Like, do I need to just take a break where I'm not around all the time? Or is it like the fact that like I'm missing just that connection with my friends or that I'm not like the only one that's not in a relationship? So I think like finding that what you need is like such a good thing. I totally forgot what I was where I was going.
Well, you had a last note, right?
Yeah, but that I mean it's not as well, I was just gonna say, like, cause you said something about ghosting. Oh, you can't like ghost someone you work
can't
with.
Ghost someone you work
I
with.
I think that is like probably the worst is when someone ghosts you that you're like, I am in your life. Like
This is not an app.
No.
I see you on the daily. You can't not respond. Yes. Yeah.
And I think I've talked about it. Like my worst ghosting was with one of my really good friend's cousin, we had like a fling and he got weird and so stopped responding. So then like I Facebook messaged him, he opened it, like you can see these things, like opened it, did not respond. Instagram messaged him again, saw he opened it, did not respond. Snapchat, saw he opened it. And I was trying to make a point, right? And then I like finally like texted him and was like, bro, like we're like friends. Like,
yeah.
I'm basically a part of your family. Like, you can't just decide I don't exist. Like, you don't have that right. Like, I didn't even like you that much. Like, this is not a big deal. Calm down.
Yeah.
But, like, you can't just, like, pretend, like, I'm right here. Like, hello.
Yeah.
That's the like, ghosting situation that I don't think I will ever understand.
Yeah. It's... I mean, in my opinion, they're cowards.
Oh, completely.
So, you don't, you know, I wouldn't feel...
No, and usually it's like,
hard because you might like them or you might have feelings involved. But like in retrospect, once you like separate yourself from those feelings, it's like, wow, douchebag.
Yeah.
Later, like I don't want to wait around for you or till you figure out like how to get, you know, straight up just like how to be polite
and
to
I
people.
I think guys think that we can't handle rejection or something. Like they're like, oh, if I tell her I'm not interested, she's going to start like crying and then she's just going to like be a puppy dog and follow me around. And I'm like, no,
bro,
I have way too much pride for that. You're
going to
say,
important.
I'm not interested. And I'm going to be like, neither was I. And I will go cry by myself. Like, you will never hear about it. Like, no.
You won't see me cry.
Yeah.
So, Rachel, I would talk to your friends.
I would too.
I would speak up for yourself. Let them know. Speak up for little Rachel inside who might be hurting or might be feeling lonely. Like, she needs someone to stand up for her. And... tell them that you need to be prioritized more.
Yeah.
Not in a, you know, focus on me, not your boyfriend's way, but just be like, hey, if we're going out, can we think of me by myself?
Yeah.
Can we bring someone else or can we have like just a girl's day? There's nothing wrong with that. And I know you're going to find your guy someday.
Yeah.
And good. I mean, I'm proud of you. I'm happy that idiot's out of your life.
Yeah.
Gross.
And I, like I said, I really think because she's like, how do I move on? I think That's the thing, is that like separation, because it's not that you're not moving on. It's from what everything you wrote in, like you have a very present desire of wanting to be in connection and in relationship with someone. So it's not that you can't move on. That desire is just very much a part of your life, which is fine. That's nothing to be ashamed of.
Yeah.
So just cut him out of that narrative. Yeah. Like, he's not a part of that narrative.
Yeah.
Like,
I think when you start feeling yourself thinking that way, mm-hmm. I think what you kind of need to mentally do is like erase his face and just focus on those feelings. Just be like, I miss being in love.
Yeah.
I don't miss blank, whatever his name is.
Yeah.
I miss that relationship.
Yeah,
I
totally.
Miss the feeling of falling for someone. But yeah, you know, if you want to go memory by memory, just start erasing like him from the memory.
True.
Because it genuinely had nothing to do with him. And I think if you took a moment and actually thought about the time you had together, he wasn't that great. So
yeah,
you don't miss him.
Still,
you miss the feeling.
Yeah. Like, I still to this day will think about something and have this like, oh, I miss, but we dated like 9 years ago. Like, I'm totally like, we are totally different people in totally different areas of life. I do not want to like be with him again, but I still will have like, when those feelings come up, sometimes it's his face that's tied to it, because he's the only person I've been in a like committed relationship with.
Yeah.
So when I'm thinking about dating, or when people are talking about fun dates, well, the only thing I have to relate to that is like fun dates I've been on with him. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's like, you just have to get comfortable with that. That it's like, oh yeah, he's still going to come up because he's the last person like I've had those interactions with.
Yeah.
But it doesn't mean that there's still, it's like him.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's different.
Yeah. It's just different.
It's just different. That is our advice that we have.
I thought that was great advice.
It's different.
It's just different, okay?
thank you, Rachel, for writing in and for being vulnerable with us.
Yes.
I know, I feel like a lot of people, guys and girls, can really relate
totally.
To that story right there. So good luck with everything. And Taryn.
Yeah.
You have a story.
Guess what?
Obviously,
I actually wrote down the title this time.
Yeah, you did.
I've been having a hard time with that. It's fine. The title is A Traumatic Accident Changed the Way I Look.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Intriguing.
Yes. I love when we have topics we haven't talked about.
Ooh.
It's exciting.
Yeah. Pumped.
So
let's break and get into it.
We will be back.
Takes long sip from Diet Coke.
I'm waiting for
Diet
them to
Coke,
sponsor
please sponsor
me.
Us.
It's so dumb for them not to.
She literally drinks Diet Coke. Every day.
I do.
If she
I will
could,
say,
two big gulps. Morning and afternoon.
Big gulps? Oh, like the big, yeah. I will say that like I have cut down. I try to only have one a day mm-hmm. if possible, because so many people are like, I'm in bag. Like, chill, gosh. but yeah, I'm just like, again, see, that's what I'm talking about with Wiener Schnitzel. Like, it's like a thing.
Yeah.
Like, I love it. I see like the logo and I'm like, oh, my people.
You're obsessive.
I am.
I feel like that is a good way to explain.
Yeah.
When you like something, you love something.
Oh, I love it. Yes.
All right. Okay. I'm very interested in the story, so please.
Let's get into it.
Get going.
This is from Anonymous. Wrote that down too.
Yeah.
Hi, Ashley and Taryn. I would like to remain anonymous, please. Y'all are so insightful, and I figured if anyone could help me and motivate me without making me feel down, it would be you guys.
Aw.
Isn't that sweet?
I love that. Ugh,
I love that. I love that you trust us. I hope that you know that, like, we don't take that lightly. Like, we always try to, like, really be invested in these stories, because we know these are not just things that are, like, entertainment to us, if that makes sense.
Yeah,
you know,
we're very aware that it's not content, that this is an actual human being writing us.
And like, the reason it does so well and people are so into it is because humans just crave feeling like they're not the only ones.
Mm-hmm.
You know what
There's
I mean?
There's a realness to it.
I hope you guys know that. Anyways. I've never been the most confident person, but I knew I had a beautiful smile and I always took pride in it, as well as my ability to recognize the parts of me that were attractive, which is a very...
Mm-hmm.
It's a gift, because mm-hmm. not everyone can see themselves like that. Last year, I suffered an injury. And she puts in parentheses, that story is a tearing it up in itself, LOL. But she doesn't tell, so I'm very curious.
I want to know.
Maybe she can give us like an update later. But I like that she doesn't put that because that's like not the focal point, you know? Mm-hmm. So she suffered an injury that caused my smile to look completely different. The healing process of only being able to eat soft foods and being constantly aware of the pain inside my mouth made me pretty depressed for a few months. I don't want to self-diagnose myself here, but use depressed for lack of a better term. Eventually, the pain went away, and I was just grateful none of my teeth had fallen out, which is what I thought was going to happen when the incident occurred. Ashley's like, oh my God, oh, I can relate.
Stressful.
Do you want to tell them who Tina was in case they're just listening?
Oh, I've broken a tooth before and have had to have it rebuilt a couple times. Yeah.
Which I think people don't understand. Like, that's it's a painful and long process, right?
Yeah. Like, I mean, and I'm sure mine was nothing compared to hers, but I just got my tooth knocked out.
Yeah.
In the one, you know, summer that I tried sports. And yeah, just like the nerve was exposed and having to get it redone and having to like keep track of it as like my big teeth grew in and even just getting older. Like it's a lot. So yeah, if you have more process than one, or if it was like an actual traumatic event, not just a softball to the face, like I couldn't imagine.
Yeah.
It's a lot.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Also, can we just talk about like teeth pain?
No,
worst.
Teeth pain?
Ugh.
No, absolutely not.
Chills.
I'm currently looking for
it. I just got full body chills thinking about it.
It makes sense though. Yeah. But yeah, no, I'm currently looking for a dentist that gives you that gas that knocks you out a little bit because I can't. What I choose is just not to go. And then I go in and they're like, hi, you have like five root canals. And I'm like, no, I'm going to choose death. Thank you. Then, so she says, just to recap, so the pain went away, grateful none of her teeth had fallen out. Then the kids I work with began pointing them out. And I just want to say that is a very hard thing about working with kids.
Kids are the worst.
They will call you out on anything because they don't have
filters.
Completely
unfiltered, yeah.
Yeah, I remember I got a new haircut and I was all excited about it. And I went in and it was like, Miss Taryn, why you look like a boy? Or like... you have a baby in there? Like, they don't, because they don't know. So yeah. I can totally see being like, what? You know what I mean? Yeah. So innocent, but still. So the kids were asking me why my teeth look funny and that sort of thing. This is when I became aware of just how different they looked. I was self-conscious of my teeth at first, but what really sent me into absolutely despising my smile was seeing candid pictures of myself smiling or catching a glimpse of my teeth in a mirror. Now, every time I laugh or smile, I can't help but think about how everyone around me can see my weird-looking teeth. I have tried to remind myself that this is what I look like now, and while I may not be used to it, my friends and family still love me and don't see me as anyone but myself. However, that doesn't stop me from feeling gross every time I look in a mirror. Ugh, don't like the word gross. How do I find love for my smile again? How do I embrace my situation in the best way possible? Even if this never gets read, thank you guys for being an outlet just to get this off my chest. What you do is truly inspiring and makes me feel less alone in my own personal dilemmas. Love, Anonymous. I know.
That breaks my heart.
This is when I'm just like, I wish we could just have you guys come in here and tell us your stories. Because, like, it's just heartbreaking hearing. Honestly, the parts that always break my, like, situations are always, like, hard to hear. But it's when there's those sentences that reflect, like, what they're really feeling inside about themselves. That's when it hurts the most.
Yeah, and I think coming to terms with something that's changed, whether it's within you or physically, like how you look, has got to be one of the hardest things to deal with, because it's easy to like change how you view someone else, like, you know, help watching someone else go through something and not your love not wavering for them in any way is like an easy thing to do. But when it's directed at you, I feel like everything's harder when it's directed at you.
No, it's so true.
And this is one of those things where it's like, I feel like I could give advice on this, but if I was in that situation, I feel like I would still feel how you feel. So I think it's very important that you understand that those feelings are valid and they're real, and it's normal that you're feeling them. The fact that you're even struggling with this is such a real, normal thing to be dealing with. It sucks that the kids have to be like that, but hopefully that maybe even brings like a maybe like a lighter side.
Yeah.
But I think what's, and I, again, I feel like I have no experience or any in any way to advise on this, but I feel like I would have to start looking at myself every single day and telling myself that I love my smile, because
yeah.
I don't think this is something for me. And again, this is just what I would have to do in that situation. I don't think I'd be able to change how I think overnight.
No, oh my God. So it's this not would have to thing. Be. Yeah.
And I've said stuff like this in the past. Like, I think this is something that you would have to actively have to make yourself do every morning or every evening or whenever you start feeling like it, if you have to run into the bathroom mm-hmm. to do it. But I would start with, I love my eyes. I love my nose. I love my lips. I love my smile. I love my teeth. I love this specific tooth. Like, I love seeing me smile because that means joy. And my smile means like happiness and laughter and love, and I should show it. And like talking to yourself that way over a long period of time, I think is going to be extremely helpful in this situation. And like just saying it out loud, I don't think you should just think that in your head. But like physically looking at yourself in the mirror and saying you were beautiful.
Yeah.
And the joy on your face right now when you smile is beautiful.
Yeah.
And it would be devastating to have to feel like you have to hide that.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. So, I mean, I can relate to a small portion of this because I was very, very insecure about my teeth growing up. I think I mentioned, like, I did get bullied a little bit, and that was one of the things, unfortunately, they grasped onto, because it was something that, I don't know, I was just embarrassed of. Like, I had crooked teeth. We didn't, like, have the money for braces. You know what I mean? And it was never something I, like, really fought to get as a child. But I remember, like, I was very insecure about things. And I would focus on it, and then, like, but people would always make comments like, oh my gosh, you have such a good smile. And I would be like, what are they're just saying that because they feel bad for me, you know, like things like that. And then I remember when I started dating my ex, he was like, I love your smile. Like, I love your crooked teeth. Like, they're so, like, it's so cute. And I remember, like, I started shifting the way I thought about it. Mm-hmm. And then that really bothered me. You know what I mean? Like, I was like, why do I have to have someone else tell me that this feature is beautiful or cute
for me to
like change, literally within like a moment of hearing like a guy I was obsessed with say like, I like your crooked teeth. All of those years of me like beating myself up and hiding my smile and crying when I got made fun of, it was like, oh no, yeah, like I'm gonna own this. And that really bothered me.
Yeah.
Because it shows how much like our own, what we tell ourselves, is so defined by like what other people think.
Yeah.
And that's been something that's been like on my heart a lot lately. And like, I want to speak more about that. I'm thinking about like doing something on my Instagram or something, because like, I think that there is such a powerful thing that comes from like you shifting and being like the only opinion that matters. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I just wanted to say that like I can relate, especially to the teeth and how prevalent that is. Like every smile, every time you talk, every whatever, you know, is like really hard. But as far as like having a major change with like your appearance, especially your face, that is such a like a deep thing, and it's something that people have struggled through. When I was researching, I wasn't finding too many resources for what to offer, because like Ash said, I felt very like I'm not qualified to like attack this. But I did find an article that Oprah did, which it's Oprah, so it has to mean
queen
everything. And I just want to specify, this article was specifically trying to help women who have aged, so their face has changed from like what they used to look like and how to like accept that change. So I definitely like rewrote a lot of this to apply to you, Anonymous, but I liked some of the principles she used. So, one of the things she said, the first thing was about changing your perspective. So, like, instead of it being like an uh-oh moment, like an aha moment, and saying, like, the first step towards making any change in perspective is acknowledging and confronting the issue. So, again, being honest about the fact that, like, I'm having a hard time with this, yeah, and like talking to people about it. I think sometimes when you're insecure about, especially like a physical attribute, you don't talk to anyone about it because you don't want to draw attention to it.
Yeah.
I don't know if you can relate to that.
No, yeah. I have a very gummy smile and I hate it. And I
love
if you get me laughing, like if you're funny, like if you're a really funny person, this is kind of like the telltale.
Yeah.
Like if you are not funny, you get a very pretty smile from me.
Yeah.
It's very even. My lips are straight. Like it's very you're funny. Whatever. Yeah. It's not that funny. But if you're hilarious, I cannot control my gummy smile from showing up because I'm laughing that hard. So I remember like I used to like cover my mouth when I laugh because I was just like, I mean, you saw my my skeletal, like,
skeletal,
like, you know what I mean? Like, it was like, very pink, and then teeth, you know?
Yeah.
And I just remember, I remember like always covering my mouth and then just like realizing, I was like, you know what? If they got me to laugh like that, they deserve to
deserve my
gummy smile in all of its glory.
See, and that, like, for me, like, when I see that smile, I'm like so excited, like, because
congrats,
I know you're like,
you got me.
Well,
like,
and
you
it's
got
just
me
like
good.
You're such a, like, you don't have control and you just show like all of the joy that you have. And so I think it's like the cutest thing ever. But yeah, like, anonymous, this should make you feel like not, like, everybody has like,
yeah, and I do not
something.
Mean to compare mine
to
hers, but
it's good to like remember that like we all have stuff, like everyone's thinking about themselves and like what they look like and oh my gosh, is this being noticed or whatever.
It's almost, you know what's crazy? It's almost like, I feel like everyone's so focused on themselves that we don't even notice each other's.
No, and I've tried so hard to do it. So I sing, right? And I'm so hypercritical about how I sing. Like, if I slightly go like sharp, I'm like so upset with myself after. If I like mess up on a lyric, I'm so upset. And so the whole time I'm singing, I'm so focused on like, oh my gosh, everybody's noticing how bad I did, like blah, blah, blah. And then I have moments where I'm like, okay, when I am sitting in a crowd and I'm listening to someone sing, I'm not thinking like that. Like, yeah, maybe every once in a while I'll be like, ooh, like that was a weird note. But then I'm like, I'm just involved in the experience and I'm like, oh, she's killing it. And I feel happy for her. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or him. So it's like, we are so like, it's like I wish we could just switch perspectives and be like, see ourselves through other people's eyes, because guaranteed most of the things we're insecure about, no one even notices.
Yeah, I guarantee.
No one notices.
I'm sure most people like die when they see me laugh because I'm like crying and
it's like the
I'm
cutest
drooling
thing.
And I'm like, it's just like a mess. But like, it's part of me, and like, I guarantee you, and I know, I really understand that your face has changed, but it would be so interesting for you to be able to see how probably most people aren't focused on it in any way,
or that people have already moved past that and see the beauty in like
and
your
they've
new
accepted
smile.
That as you, that's you now, you know, and that's hard.
So she goes on, you would be surprised to hear how many women are reserved in acknowledging that their looks bother them, like they don't talk about it. The first step allows us to our own honest feelings about our changing looks, or so like the change you went through, and see clearly through the thoughts or things that could cloud our vision, which I loved that, like just talking bluntly about it. Then she goes on, she had like a cute title about the only mask you should wear should be made of honey and yogurt, like, you know, like a face mask.
Yeah, yeah.
But she goes into this of like coming out of hiding from beliefs or actions that disconnect us from what we really feel. So take off your mask, let your face grow into becoming who you are. Masks are brittle and fake. Stop hiding. Take a look and see your own beauty. And I loved that of like, she's probably already developing mechanisms. Like you said, like you would cover your smile, or like you would probably hide certain angles or not post certain pictures. So like, not hiding behind that and just like coming into like, no, like this is beautiful. These are things I like love about myself, and I'm not gonna try to like live a life where I'm like protecting people from seeing it, because I think people are so attracted to just confidence and like people who are genuine that that's going to be something that attracts people to you instead of you being like not smiling or hiding behind, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Another thing she said is talk back to that internal dialogue. So it's easy to hear your inner voice, but not easy when the words are like you look blank. So like the things that you tell yourself, maybe it's time to start saying shut up to the voices that get in our way. Listen to where these voices are coming from and pay attention to that. You'll be able to hear that they most often come from your past or from what others have said. Sometimes they resonate with the voices we hear coming from even like television or radio. So like what are the things you're telling yourself? And where can you trace it back to? Because like guaranteed they're not things that are truthful and they're not things that like you should be giving power. You know what I mean? Power to.
Mm-hmm.
And then the last thing was saying goodbye is hard to do. So this one was kind of like, we talk about this all the time, like where you have to kind of like let go of your idea of what you had so that you can accept what you are now. So saying goodbye to like even like what you maybe previously look like so that you can detach your sense of attractiveness to that and start to like narrow down your definition to make room for like a broader view of like what is beautiful. And I think it's something that like it takes a long time, but it's something that like needs to happen. You know what I mean? Like you need to like be able to step back and not be like comparing yourself to like what you did look like, but being like, this is what I look like now. These are my teeth. These are the features I have. And like, I need to like push past that and give myself that like love and comfort that I have. And then I would just like walk into it. Like tell me if somebody asks you like, oh, like why do your teeth look different? This happened to me. And so like I have some changes, or like start just like smiling even bigger, like at pictures. You know what I mean? Like walk into it of like, today I'm making a choice to not let myself get in my own way. Like I am beautiful. I have my teeth. I have my face. Like I have all of these things that a lot of people don't. And I have these things that like I can be grateful for. And I refuse to let it steal my definition of like me being beautiful, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, 100%. What Taryn said was absolutely perfect. And hopefully that encourages you a little bit. There's two more things I would like to add. I really think I read this forever ago and it was about scars and how like they're a sign of survival. And I really think that even though you probably hate the look of this scar, it's still a sign that you survived something and you're strong and you came out the other side okay.
Yeah.
And I think that's something beautiful and amazing. And I think if people ask you about a scar or just like something on your body, it's cool to tell them the story of like how you got that scar, you know?
Yeah, just like to own it.
And I would just be like, yeah, I went through a crazy accident, but survived. And look at me now, you know, like that, you know, like I think it's
these
just kind of
mine.
Like,
you know what I mean?
Yeah. These pearly whites, these are mine.
Yeah.
I'm good. You know, like I think it's all about just telling that story and people really do connect and love.
No, I totally agree.
Connecting over stories. So I think that's amazing.
And I think it's good because, I mean, obviously teeth, you can change them. Like you can get, they have so many things you can do now.
Oh, veneers.
But I think, crazy. I think it, I'm saying like that can be something that you are, you know, saving up for or maybe like your goal someday. But I would not underestimate how valuable the process is of loving yourself right where you are, right in the midst of what you view as a flaw. Notice how I said you view it's a flaw because I'm sure yours just like gorgeous. And we didn't get a picture, which I love pictures, guys.
Yeah.
But I think like you're in a crucial point where learning to like love yourself and make your own definition of what is beautiful is so valuable. So I would definitely recommend like taking the time to like really go through this process and try to make sure like you're forming those healthy habits and healthy thoughts.
Yeah.
While you're in this, but
also I really think if you have trouble getting that kind of strength or encouragement or something like that, I think it's crazy what social media is today, mm-hmm. and that you can actually pick and choose like who you follow and yeah. who you see every single day. There are so many absolutely amazing people on social media that are being vulnerable, that are posting things yeah. that maybe the rest of the world doesn't think is pretty mm-hmm. or something that they've gone through, and they're telling their entire story. I follow a ton of people that inspire me every single day. And one of the girls I found on YouTube forever ago and have followed her ever since, her name is Nikki Lilly. And basically at like the age, I think of 8 or 11, she has, I forget the name of the, I don't want to like ruin it, but basically half of her face is falling, like okay. so it's very slanted. I don't know the exact name. I'm not gonna try to butcher that, but she's a beauty influencer and she does makeup yeah. and she does YouTube videos on how to do makeup
yeah.
and I guarantee you she was probably terrified going onto that platform because her face doesn't look like everybody else's, but she, and I know she doesn't feel, I'm sure she doesn't feel confident and pumped up every single day. But man, she has this amazing story and she inspires me daily.
Yeah.
And she's in like high school.
Yeah. And no, that's awesome.
She's doing so much with it. And I think she's gotten to meet like a lot of people because of it.
Yeah.
You know? So it's really interesting.
That is the thing. Like, we've got to stop giving our body parts like more credit than they deserve. Like
yeah.
a leg is a freaking leg and you use it to walk. Like
yeah.
teeth are freaking teeth and you use it to eat food. Like, you know what I mean? Like
yeah.
there's certain things, and I get why we tie it because our society is just so jacked up. It's like every, like my leg and everyone else's looks different.
Yeah.
All of us look different.
Yeah.
Even all the models that we're striving to be, they all have things that are different about them. And our bodies, like, are gifts to us. And so it's like we've given so much power to, like, when I look at my leg, I don't see, like, oh, I'm so glad I have this healthy leg that gets me everywhere. I see, like, I freaking hate those dimples. Like, mm-hmm. I hate the fact that I have that vein that's showing, or, like,
yeah.
that I can't fit it into, like, this size, or I would never wear shorts because my leg's going to jiggle. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
it's like we have got to stop giving so much power to these things and just create our own freaking dialogue and tell yeah. ourselves, like, we are beautiful. We have so much worth and we just need to step into it. So, girl, Anonymous, I'm yeah. talking to you, but I'm talking to myself, too.
Yeah.
Like, we need to just start a movement where we just realize, like, there is no definition. It's a title that we have the power to give ourselves.
Yeah.
So I'm saying
100%.
Right now, say it with me, Anonymous. Say it with me, everyone. I am beautiful.
I am beautiful.
Just the way I am.
Just the way I am.
And that's it. I'm going to start telling myself that every single day.
Every single morning.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much, Anonymous, for being vulnerable
yeah,
with us
no,
and sharing
I love
it.
That.
I guarantee you multiple people got a lot from that.
Mm-hmm.
I feel inspired because of it. And I can't wait to see... I think I'm excited for you to see who you inspire because of your story.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
It's going to be incredible.
Yeah.
Well, those are our stories.
That's it.
Thank you guys so much for sending them in. Guys, if you have not written us yet, but you have had this gut feeling that's been telling you, hey, you should write in about this story, or you should write in about that
Do
relationship,
it.
Or you have this problem going on, maybe they could help you with that. Guys, we can't help you if you don't tell us about it. So please yeah. send us an email at, what's the email called again, Taryn?
AdviceUnsolicitedPod@gmail.com. And if it's hard for you to write in, don't think about yourself. Think about the people that you could potentially help.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm telling you, our emails are flooded with, I know this situation wasn't about me, this wasn't my story, but you guys helped me so much, or that person helped me so much and inspired me.
Mm-hmm.
So really, we're about a big movement.
Yeah. Helping each other.
Yes. So follow us on our socials. Get excited for our upcoming episodes. We have an exciting guest coming next
Ayo.
Month.
Also, don't forget to leave series requests, topic requests.
Huh? Oh. See, I heard Siri, like the phone Siri, so I got confused.
Got it. There are.
Yeah. Series. What? Yeah. If you guys want us to have themed episodes and stuff, let us know what's interesting.
Please.
And that's about all we have for you. We love you guys so much.
Bye.
Bye.